Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 350, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. And with joy I heard my friends exclaim, "Come, let us in God's temple meet. And within thy gates, O Zion blessed, shall ever stand our willing feet." 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 350. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 132, Psalm 132. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 132. A song of degrees. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, or slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. And for thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. and Mrs. Arjan Janssen, who received a well-born girl in this past week. Also, Mr. and Mrs. Jason Rosendahl, who received a well-born boy. Mrs. Gary DePuter has had surgery in this past week, and the father of Mr. Ben Outshorn has to receive surgery this coming Thursday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and long-suffering God, thou who givest another day, thou who givest another Sabbath day, thou who givest us health and strength and the ability to come up to gather in thy house in this morning, oh, then it behooves us to acknowledge thee for the blessings again poured out upon us. Lord, that thou may strike our hearts in this morning hour with an arrow from thy holy quiver that may enter into each and every one of us, and that we may be struck with thy goodness over against all our own iniquity. For who is there in our midst in this morning, and that is able to put his own hand in his bosom and to take it out clean concerning iniquity and sin and transgression? Oh, then we are together white as snow, as with leprosy. Lord, that thou may show to us and give us to feel something then in this morning of thy great goodness bestowed upon us, that it may humble us in the dust that thou still sparest us, but especially that thou givest us to come to gather again under thy word and everlasting testimony. But Lord, it is insufficient, for thou knowest that what man is by nature, then it is a wonder if we may be given to follow in the instruction of our fathers. Then it is a wonder if we even may, with form and custom, come to thy house Sabbath after Sabbath day. Then there is nothing to be found in us that is worthy in thy holy sight. But it is insufficient, O Lord, for the need of our souls. And yet it is the place wherein that thou dost work, that thou givest of thy spirit upon thine own ordinances. O Lord, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto her mistress, so our eyes do look up unto thee, as so do we wait for thee, that thou may grant us thy blessing, that thou from thy own place where thou art sitting upon the throne of glory and the throne of power, that thou may shower upon us a blessing out of thy heavenly store,
then it is not only the natural blessings that we need for our life, but it is especially those spiritual blessings that we cannot do without. And that is now the reason that we have come into thy house of prayer. Lord, it was the desire of thy servant David to prepare such an habitation for thee, and that thou may dwell there. O thou who lovest Zion, and who hast chosen it for thy habitation, that thou may look upon it also in the day in which we live. When Satan has gone to such far extents to deceive man and to draw man into that eternal abyss, oh, that thou with thy might and with thy power in this day may look upon us and upon our children. Lord, if our children will keep thy covenant, if they will obey thy law and thy statutes, if they will draw nigh unto thee, oh, then thou promisest unto them also that thou wilt grant them thy blessing. For thou dost say, those that seek me shall find me. Oh, that thou may give that in the heart of each and every one of us an earnestness for the cause of our never-dying souls. Lord, that thy name may be glorified within each and every one of us and our dear children. Oh, come thou then in this day and speak from thy place wherein thou art in thy glory. And forsake us not utterly as we are upon thy footstool. Lord, thou seest everything and thou knowest everything. For thine eyes, they go to and fro over the whole world. But in a special way, then thou knowest that when we are come up into thy house. For it is the place where thou dost dwell. Lord, and thou wilt thou come to be with us in this morning, and that thou may look upon us in thy mercy undeservedly. Thou hast given thy spirit in the days of old. Oh, then we can read in thy own word thy power to convert 3,000 under one sermon. Lord, we are but 300. Oh, thou canst convert each and every one of us. Thou canst strike us in our heart. Thou canst raise us from the dead. The power, O Lord, that belongeth with thee, and the honor and the glory that will be unto thy great and thy holy name. Oh, it shall be to the magnification of the power of thine only begotten Son, and that work that he has come to do, to seek and to save that which is lost. O Lord, do it then for thy own great and holy name's sake, and look upon thyself, and that thou may desire thy own glory, and that so thou may visit us with an eternal blessing in this morning. Lord, it is so undeserved from our side. O thou canst not do it for our sakes. Our sins, they are as the mountains, and we cannot overcome them. Thou knowest the pollution of our hearts. Oh, give us then with thy servant of old to smite upon our breast, but that thou may look upon us in thine only begotten Son. Remember all those that are afflicted and sick in this world, as some also that are relatives of those in our midst. Lord, wilt thou be with them where they are, whether they are in hospitals, whether they are in their own homes or in places where they are cared for by others. And may thou supply from above. Remember also him that must go into the hospital in this week, the father of our brother deacon. Lord, may thou grant thy blessing for the need of his body, and that thou may supply for him, protect him under the hands of the doctors, and wilt thou heal him. Do look upon her in our midst that was brought home again from the hospital, and thou hast made it thus far well, wilt thou grant her freedom from the pain, and wilt thou supply for the needs of her body. Lord, look upon the children that were born, that thou may grant that new birth also in the days of their infancy, and that thou may strengthen them with the mothers together. And oh, that thou may give that they may be children born to be born again. And also all our children in the midst of the congregation. Oh, work with might and power, Lord. And give that thy word that may go forth also in this morning, that it may be for the children also, that they may be given spiritual life, and then they shall be given understanding in thy word. And then they shall eat it up, and then they shall drink it up, then they shall be fed and shall be nourished. With all thy dear children, remember them this day over the length and the breadth of this world. And all thy truly sent servants, be with those that mourn the loss of thy servant. And could it please thee to send forth servants into thy vineyard? And be with all thy servants this day, as strengthen us, O Lord, to bring thy word, thou who hast called, thou who hast sent, and thou who hast promised to be with us. Oh, show it in the blessing that will come forth from it. Oh, show it in true conversions. Show it in the instruction of thy children. Show it in true repentance. Lord, show it to the glory and to the honor, not of us, but of thy great and thy holy name. And give us then freedom and liberty, and forgive and keep us from all iniquity. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 367, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Gracious Lord, remember David, how he made thy house his care, how he vowed to seek no pleasure till thy house he should prepare. Lord, remember his devotion, restless in his courts he trod, till he found a habitation fit for Israel's mighty God. Till he found a habitation fit for Israel's mighty God. We announced that Mr. Brun's catechism class will begin this afternoon. Psalter 367, stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the Song of Solomon, in the first chapter, the last verse. Song of Solomon 1, and thereof verse 17. The beams of our house are a cedar, and our rafters of fir. So far, the words of our text. The house of the bridegroom and the bride. First, the house. Second, the beams of this house. And third, the rafters of this house. The house of the bridegroom. First, the house. Second, the beams. And third, the rafters. The beams of our house. Thus, we have heard something, congregation, how that there is a marriage. And when there is a marriage, then there must also be a house. Because in that house, then the bride and the bridegroom may dwell together. There they may live together. There they may work together. There they may commune together. Thus, the house of the bridegroom and his bride. But such a dwelling together is also the portion of Christ and his church. A dwelling together. Thus, they have a relationship that is not a mere objective thing, that is not a mere doctrine. No, but that is a subjective thing. That is what takes place actually within the life of the church of God. Thus, it is not so that that church is implanted into Christ without their own knowledge. No, they will know something, just as if They are completely ignorant that something has taken place in their life. No, there is a purpose that the Lord forgives the sin of his church. That is, a purpose for justification. What is that purpose? That is to take away sin. That is, that God may be reconciled unto his people. But then there is also a purpose to sanctification. And what is that? That is to cleanse that people. And why do they also need to be cleansed? They need to be cleansed in order that they may dwell again. That they may come into the actual presence of a holy and a righteous God. Thus, this dwelling together of Christ and his church is something that is perfected in eternity, in that place where all iniquity and all sin is taken away. But it is not something that begins in eternity. No, the actual dwelling of Christ and his church together is something that begins already in the time. Do you know when, boys and girls? Do you know when that begins? That begins in the new birth that you are asking for. When you ask the Lord to give to you a new heart, that is the time that the church begins to dwell with God. That is the time that that strong man arm, the one that is holding you captive by nature, and that your heart that is in so much agreement with, and that you follow all of his commands to do what he desires and to follow in his ways. That is when that strong man armed, he is cast out. And then it is the Lord who is coming to dwell in the place of that strong man armed. Did that ever take place in your life? Paul says, "What? Know ye not that your bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost, tabernacles of the Holy Spirit, which he says dwelleth in you. Thus, the body of the bride becomes the house of the bridegroom by the Holy Spirit. Does a person know then what happened in that moment? Can that person explain what happened in that moment? He does not realize what has taken place, but you can be sure that he has felt something has taken place. No, he cannot explain what it is, but indeed there has come within his heart and within his soul a great change, because religion is something that is more than notion. The beams of our house. Then we see another representation in God's word, how that whole church of God together as a body that becomes as a temple built unto God. Then the apostle says, ye are lively stones built into a spiritual house, and that Christ himself is that cornerstone. Thus, the Lord speaks about himself as dwelling in and with his entire church, also not only individually, but also as a body. The beams of our house. He does not say the beams of your house or the beams of my house, but it is the beams of our house. Thus, if the Lord has taken up his abode in your heart, then that is something that is not able to be separated anymore. There is, as it were, nothing that can admit a separation. That is the Holy Spirit to come to dwell within you. And then there is a unity, an inseparable bond. And if we read of that church that is being built on that one foundation, that one cornerstone of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we see how that these two, they are become actually one. Thus Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? But where now is this union, this marriage between Christ and his church solemnized? Where were you married, husbands and wives? Say, we were married in the house of God. And what makes something a house of God? Well, in the first place, there is a dedication. This house also, now it is 30 years ago, that we see on the stone, that actual date that has passed already. But we see how that 30 years ago, that this house that has been dedicated. What does that mean? That this building that has been set apart, that has been set apart for a holy use, that is not for the use of vanity and carnality and the things of this world, but this house in its dedication has been set aside for the use of the worship and the service of the God of heaven and of earth. Thus we see Solomon in the dedication of the temple, that he has sacrificed, that he has besought the Lord, that he may dwell in this house. And the Lord has given his approval on this. The Lord has shown something of his own presence and his answer. that he indeed would dwell in that house when he has come, and they were not able to minister because of the cloud. Thus, there is a dedication of a building, a separation of it for a holy service. But then there is something else. Then in a special way, the Lord says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So it is actually the gathering. It is the gathering of God's true church together that is making this building in a special way under that gathering the house of God. And now it is in the midst of this gathering that the ordinances of the word of the Lord are administered. Thus, that God's word is preached and that the holy sacraments are administered. And it is now under the preaching of God's holy word that marriage is solemnized. That is, not only the marriage between a man and a woman in this world, but a marriage between Christ and his church. That is, that in that place the Lord is taking unto himself his bride. That he is granting a new birth, and that he is cutting that branch off from its former root, and he is engrafting that branch into himself, that he is married unto her. And now the bride, she speaks about this house. She says, the beams of our house are cedar and our rafters of fir. Oh, with what a great respect that she is speaking about this house and how she does not glory in that house of God. This is the place where that new life was experienced that she was not able to explain. But one thing is sure, she began to love this place. She began to love this house. The congregation, that is now one of those blessed marks of those who are engrafted into this vine. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. Is that so for us too? Or how is that for us, young people? How is that for us, children? When we would say, be honest now, what is now your favorite day of the week? What is that day that you are looking forward to? Do you know what we say by nature? We say it is Monday, Tuesday, or maybe Friday, Saturday. But then we do not say Sunday. No, because then we have to go to church. Oh, that is our natural heart. Is that still the way it is in your young heart? Do you know how the Lord can change this? Oh, the Lord can change this to make it so different in your life, as so that with David that you will desire. David says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, that place where thine honor dwelleth. In Psalm 92, we read, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. And it is true that these are now planted there. Oh, there is something, young people, that you will see in those persons, and that is that their place in the house of God will not be empty. know whether it is cold or hot, or the sun is shining, or the rain is coming, or if there is a storm, or if it is the weekday or the Sabbath day, or if they are a student, or if whatever that it is, or then you will find that their place in that house of God is not empty. And then it will be true that those that are planted there in that house of God, that they are going to receive something of that blessing of the Lord. They will experience the blessing of what it is to bow before God. They will experience what it is for the Lord to speak unto their soul. They will experience what it is for the Lord to show favor unto them, because the Lord will be honored. He is going to receive His own honor in the midst of all of His own ordinances. And they are going to acknowledge Him for this to all eternity. The beams of our house are cedar and our rafters of fir. That brings us to our second thought, the beams of this house. So a beam, what is now a beam? Beam, it has to do with the structure of a house. So it is that out of which a house is builded, that which is giving strength to a house. That is it which is tying this house together and on which all the other parts of that house are resting. Thus, there is much in a house that is for adornment, but the beams of that house, they are not for adornment. The beams of that house, they are for strength. They are to make that house to be sturdy. Without the beams, then that house that will be just weak, it will be flimsy when there will be a little bit of a storm, and then everything is going to fall apart. And now what we read here, we read that the beams of this house of the bride and of this bridegroom, they are of cedar. The beams of our house are cedar. And what do we know about cedar? Cedar, in a special way, is known for its durability. Cedar is a wood that lasts for a long, long time, because cedar is a wood that does not rot. And then in the second place, cedar is also something that is known for its excellency, for its comeliness, because it has such a beautiful smell, a pleasant smell. We can read how that this wood that has been used much in the great temple of Solomon, from those stately cedars of Lebanon, that Solomon has brought this beautiful, strong, lasting, precious wood for the building of God's house. The beams of our house are cedar. There is no house, congregation, as strong as the house of the Lord. There is no house so unshakable as the house of the Lord. That is a house that is indestructible. Satan, with all of his instruments, has been fighting against the church of God for 6,000 years. And yet he cannot destroy it. Satan has come with his persecutions, and he has scattered God's church far and wide over the entire world. Satan has come with all of his allurements, especially in our day, to lure men away from God and from His truth, to destroy that church, to bring that church to nothing. And there have been times indeed in the history of the church that it seemed like that church was indeed brought to nothing. Elijah said, "I am the only one left." And among the thousands and thousands of Israel, the Lord declared that there were yet 7,000. But despite everything that Satan is doing, that church is still there. And that church, that afflicted and that poor people of the Lord, they are the cork that is still holding up this world. And so this world cannot be destroyed because that church is still existing in this world. The beams of our house are cedar. What are now those beams? What are those beams upon which that church of God is resting? What are those beams that are holding that whole church together? What are now those beams that are giving so much strength to that church? Do you know what one of those beams are? One of those beams are this. That is the Holy Word of God. It is an indestructible Word of God. And it is a word that has securely bound that church together, a church of every nation and of every age in this world. Satan has attempted to burn this word. As Satan has attempted to alter it, Satan has attempted to bring the word of God into disrepute. But that word of God that is abiding forever, heaven and earth shall pass away. But my word, the Lord says, shall never pass away. And now that word, that is not only strong, but that word is also so pleasant and sweet. Because it is a word by which the fallen daughters and sons of Adam, they have come to put their hope in God. That is a word that is a light and a lamp unto the path of those who have lost the way and are not able to find that way again. That is a more sure word of prophecy. It is a light that shines into a dark place to lead that people who are walking in darkness and that have no light. That word that is so excellent, that is so precious to that people as that smell of cedar to refresh them and to make them glad. Oh, the beams of our house are of cedar. And what does David say? He says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. What is that? That is more than just this word. What is that? That is a pleading on something. Upon what? Upon a promise that the Lord has given to him out of that word. A promise upon which David may come to rest. A promise which was sufficient to sustain David. Why? Because of the faithfulness and the truth of God. Because God is not a man that he should lie. He is not the son of man that he should repent. What is that thing that made Daniel pray? That made Daniel go to his open window and pray? When he knew that the enemies were watching, and when he knew that that pit to the lions was open and waiting for him, what made him do that? To still go to his place and pray? Does not the Lord say that those that wait upon him shall never be ashamed? It was not that promise of the Lord the strength of Daniel? Did not that promise of the Lord make Daniel so very, very bold? In the face of every enemy that came against him, that he said, rejoice not, O mine enemy, because when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me, even in that lion's den. Do you feel something of the strength of that promise? The beams of our house, they are of cedar. All those beams, those promises upon which that church is resting, they are so very, very sturdy and so very, very sure. That is why David could go fight Goliath. That is why Gideon, he could take with him but 300 men because of what the Lord has promised him. That is why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they remain standing before that idol of men. The beams of our house are cedar. David says, in God have I put my trust. I will not fear what man can do unto me. And what does he say? He says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Oh, the strength of it and the sweetness of it, they are one, they are together, they are bound together, even as these two things are in that great cedar tree. Oh, how sweet was that to Ruth when Boaz said to her that he will do all that she requires of him. Oh, was there not strength in this for her? Was there not preciousness in this for her? Was there not sweetness in this for her? Did her mother-in-law not rightly say unto her, sit still, my daughter, for that man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day? The beams of our house are cedar. Is not one of these beams the very covenant of redemption? That covenant that was sworn already in eternity. Is there anything that stands more steadfast, more immovable than this decree of the Lord? Immovable despite all their transgression, despite all their sin, despite all their shortcomings? Oh, was not this the strength and was not this the sweetness for the Apostle Paul, who carried with him in this life a body of sin and death? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, is that now a covenant out of which that church of God can fall? No, they will persevere in it. And why will they persevere in it? Because they are preserved in it. Because that covenant that is as the cedar tree, it is a covenant that will not rot. It is a covenant wherein the worms, they shall never creep into it. And it is the cause of the strength and is the cause of the rejoicing of that true church. A church that is increasing in the knowledge of themselves and is disappointed day by day. But the strength in it, where is the strength? Where is the beauty? Where is the excellency? It is in this. He says, I do it not for your sakes, O house of Israel, but I do it for mine own holy name's sake. Oh, therefore, that covenant that is so sure, that covenant that is so sweet unto that people who are not able to fulfill anything from their own sight. Oh, the beams that are holding up that house of God, they are of cedar. Is not one of those beams the active and the passive obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, what a challenge. Did you ever think about that, young people, children? A challenge. The Lord Jesus, he said, says to the enemy, which of you convinceth me of sin? Anyone may say it. Is there one? What a challenge. Can you say that? Can I say that? We cannot say that. But it is a beam. The innocency without fault of the Son of God. A beam upon which that house of God is resting. The perfect obedience of the Son of God, which made it necessary for the Father to give him life from the death because of justice. Is that not a beam? And his passive obedience, when he said it is complete, it is finished. So that there is nothing, absolutely nothing that is required of that church anymore. The beams of our house are cedar. What about congregation, the good pleasure of the Father? The good pleasure of the Father upon which the hope of a sinful people does rest. What is his good pleasure? His good pleasure is to receive a substitute. That is his good pleasure. Did not have to do this. This is not part of the law. No, it is his decree. And now what is more? What is stronger? What is stronger than the decree of the Father to accept a payment in the place of his church? Or is that not a beam upon which that church is now resting? And is that not something so excellent and so precious to those who are in themselves condemned? The beams of our house are cedar. There is nothing, there is absolutely nothing that is able to break down that house of God. It is immovable, firm, with beams of cedar. There is nothing more comely. There is nothing more precious to a poor sinner who does not dare to look up to heaven, but who has to smite upon his breast. His state is sure from the side of God. And when the Lord will apply it to his soul, he will go down to his house justified, resting upon the beams, the cedar beams of that house of God. Let us sing Psalter 421, 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. And what follows in 3 and 4 of Psalter 421. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. Thus our third thought, the rafters of this house. Thus the house of the bride and the bridegroom has not only beams, but it also has rafters. And that is not likely what we think in a house of a rafter. But actually, it is speaking of what we might call galleries. And what are galleries? Galleries are walking places. They are walkways which often connected one part of a building to another, one part of a large house unto another. And these are often covered and they are sometimes raised and full of windows so that there may be pleasantness as some may walk through these walkways together. And now it is said that these rafters are of fir, and we are not positive what this fir is. That is the only place that this word in the original language is used in the Bible. But it could refer to what we know as the fir tree, or it could refer to what was the well-known cypress tree in that time, in that land. Nevertheless, it is speaking about something of great beauty. Again, it is speaking of something of great excellency, something for the sight, something for the smell, something that is fitting to describe a walking together in the galleries. The degrees of fellowship, there are degrees of fellowship within that church of God. Thus, the communion that is all not one and the same. We think of Peter, James, and John, how that they were brought at certain times into a closer communion with Christ than others, when they may go with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, when they may come with him into the deep of that Garden of Gethsemane. Last week, then, we have spoken of that most intimate communion of Christ and his church. But that is not a communion that is constant. That is a communion that is by moments here below, that that bride may taste something of what that heavenly communion is. Thus, there are many times that it is not so. And though it is not so, does not mean that that bride is devoid of all communion whatsoever. Because our text that is now speaking about the galleries of this house. That is, when that bride may be with that bridegroom and they may take, as it were, pleasant walks together in the midst of their house, that they may commune with one another. That is, of a different degree with the former communion. And yet it is also a great delight. It is a great enjoyment. It is a great privilege, though it is not of the highest measure. Thus, there are times in that life of the true church of God that they may come, as it were, into the immediate presence of the Lord. Job, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Thus Job says there is a difference, how that he heard of him before and how that he sees him now. Thus the Lord brought him closer to himself. The Lord showed him more of himself. The Lord opened to him more of his majesty, that Job may abhor himself. This bringing of the soul into his more intimate, into his more immediate presence is often taking place in that new life. That is, in that new birth, children. Have you a little child in your home, a little infant in your home? If your mother and father bring them home from the hospital, then, well, if there is a little boy, maybe a year or 2 years, 3 years old, then they are quite jealous. Why? Because they always got to sit on mother's lap. But now they don't get to do that so much anymore. No, why? Because that little child is there. And what is the Lord now doing? When the Lord is giving that new birth, then the Lord is often, and then in his house, he is taking that people in his arms. And what do that people know of it? Can they say what God is doing? No, that infant cannot do that. But does he feel something? Yes, he does. He experiences something. Can he tell you about it? No, he cannot. But he knows it. Does he know if he is in mother's arms or not? Oh, there is a great difference. And so that is, that sitting in that house of God, that the Lord is pouring out his love. Can they explain this to their neighbor? They don't know. They don't dare to say what it is, but they feel it. Thus, they come into the more immediate presence of the Lord. Do they there receive so much instruction? Not necessarily. But they do feel something of his presence. In the revelation of himself, the Lord is also bringing that people into his more immediate presence. When the Lord is cutting them off so that they are despairing of all hope in themselves, and when the Lord is now opening unto them in that house of God. Young people, there are times when it is as if the hair of that people will stand on its end. In the house of God. Why? Because they feel something. They feel something of the Lord's presence. And what is the Lord showing to them? The Lord is opening his word. That he gives them to see something of his truth that they have never seen before in their life. That he gives them to see something that is so precious. That he opens their eyes. That he gives light in their darkness. That he gives them to enter into the mystery of his word. And especially, what mystery is that? That is the mystery of free grace. The mystery where they see how that it is possible again to come into God's presence. And in the revealing of this mystery, then they are standing in awe. Standing in awe and feeling something of that presence of the Lord. That is so also in the application, when the Lord is bringing that people in the court of their own conscience before the judgment seat of God. And that when they have to hear the witnesses that are against them, when they have to sign their own death sentence, when they may hear that surety speak for them, when they may hear the sentence out of that mouth of the judge, when they may be set in full liberty for their own soul. Oh, then there is something felt of that immediate presence of the Lord. You can understand that this is not something that is continuous in the life of God's children. No, their own bodies are not able to sustain themselves under such a continual presence of God's Spirit. There will come a time for that. So that sometimes it is the prayer of the people that the Lord will forbear, that the Lord will cease. And yet, there is a pleasantness that is of another degree. A pleasantness that is no less precious and that is no less sweet. It is a blessedness of walking with Christ in the galleries, in the walking places. And it is actually a pleasantness that is more fit for their earthly tabernacle. An earthly tabernacle as before that they receive a body that is immortal. A pleasantness that is more fit to continue for that people. And what is that? Then they may walk by times in the galleries of reflection. Reflection. When they may call to remembrance. When they may consider once again the dealings of the Lord in their life. And in that gallery, then they are searching that holy word of God. And as they are searching that holy word of God, then they are comparing what they have experienced and known in their own life to that which they may read in that word of God. They may examine themselves. And they may be strengthened by this. How are they strengthened by this? When they may see that that grace that He reveals to all His saints is also that grace that He has revealed to me. Oh, what a pleasantness then it is to walk in this gallery of reflection and meditation upon all the dealings of the Lord in my life. There is another gallery wherein they may walk by times when the Lord gives them opening to speak. An opening to preach. When the Lord gives them freedom. When the Lord gives them liberty. And when the Lord Himself opens their mouth. Oh, to walk in that gallery that is so sweet, because then they may feel something of, they may taste something of that which the Lord has given unto them, and then they may also do good unto their neighbors. Oh, a blessed gallery, the congregation we may also walk in as a God's servant in your midst by times. Even as we may speak, and we have come to the end of this chapter of the Song of Solomon, and we had never expected to do this when we began. But how good it has been for us. And there is a time to cease it again, but we hope that it has also been profitable for you. Or was there a reason? Was there a reason that we had to go, as it were, from verse to verse in this first chapter of Song of Solomon? When we would speak only about that first verse or that second verse, and then from verse to verse,
that the Lord has given to us freedom to speak about it again. Congregation, are there some who are hungering and thirsting after the Lord? Are there some of you young people who also do draw this out of us? Are there some of you for whom these things, when we do not know, have become precious? Are there some who one day will also come to speak about those wondrous ways of the Lord and may walk in this blessed gallery? Oh, there is the gallery of obedience. When the precepts of the Lord, they are not a burden to that people. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. There is the gallery of personal prayer. When by moments the Lord takes away the burden of that duty. And then it is not that the Lord necessarily speaks to the people, but that they may speak unto the Lord. And then they may be so glad when with Hannah they may rise up, and their countenance that is no more sad. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. Congregation, it is the end of the first chapter of the Song of Solomon. Beautiful book, speaking of so many things from Genesis to Revelation. Speaking also of that which is necessary for us to know in our soul. Speaking of things that are so sure, that are so steadfast, that cannot be destroyed. Speaking of things that are so pleasant, that are so amiable. What is our life? What is sure about our life? What is pleasant about our life? How long will it last? Is that certain? Going to be here tomorrow? Do we know that? How pleasant is it? Are there no disappointments? Is it not all a disappointment? Moses, he lived for 120 years. His eye was not dim. His natural force was not abated. 120 years, strong like a young man. And what did he say? The strength. The strength, the best part of our life. That is labor and sorrow. And then we fly away. That is the truth. And the older that we become, ask our older ones. The older that we become, the more that we will experience and realize this in our life. But what does Solomon say of that service of the Lord? He says, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow unto it. Oh, a strength and a blessedness to bring us through this world and to go with us out of this world. Oh, may our heart be affected by it. That it may be affected by it. And if it is not affected by a congregation, let us go upon our knees and show to the Lord that there is something so, so wrong. So wrong in my life, so wrong in my heart. And ask the Lord to overcome us, to make it well. People of the Lord, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. They are not our words. They are the words of the Lord Jesus. And here there are degrees. There is There are moments whereupon that church may come into that immediate presence. And then there are other degrees of that pleasantness, but soon it is all going to be perfected. There is only going to be one degree. It is going to be a degree of absolute perfection in magnifying the grace of God. Faith that is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. And what we read of that which is to be enjoyed, all eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, what the Lord has prepared for them that love him. Oh, that you may receive patience to wait for it, because surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in that house of the Lord forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, grant us that life that dies not. O the beams of thy house, all they are of cedar. O that we, each one of us, may one day be given to say with the bride, the beams of our house, bring us safely to our homes. Forgive our many sins and bring us with desire in thy house in this afternoon. Help us therein for Jesus' sake. Amen. 134. Within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, we on thy loving kindness dwell, the wonders of thy grace. Men sing thy praise, O God, where'er thy name is known. By every deed thy hand hath wrought, thy righteousness is shown. 1, 2, and 3 of 134.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.